Hey guys, I'm Crazy Jay, and I got Joe, Emma, and Andrea in the studio today, and this is Youth Force Chronicles. Let's get at it.
Are you ready?
What's up, everybody? Hey, how y'all doing today? My name is Crazy Jay, and this is Youth Force Chronicles, the show.
What?
The show what about show? Jobs and careers.
Wait,
for
no, for
teens.
Real, what show?
Your Youth Force Chronicles.
It's a show?
It's a podcast.
Oh.
It's a show. Oh. I mean, right?
Podcast show.
Oh, you're right.
We're not splitting hairs here, Mr. Grammar. Okay, dang. Okay, so just want to welcome you to the show. Again, this is a Boys and Girls Club Youth Force program. It's about jobs and careers. We give teenagers opportunities to talk to people in different jobs and careers. And today, we have a very special guest. His name is Chris Brown.
Oh, the singer, right?
No, not the singer. Not the singer.
So, I'm just kidding. I'm excited to have whoever it is.
Chris was a graduate from Florida Christian College and has a degree in elementary education. Did you guys know I went to Florida Christian College?
Wait, you went
really?
To Florida
no,
Christian
College? I
did. It was the best time. Did I get a degree? Nope. But anyways, and now Chris works, he also works part-time at Walt Disney World.
Whoa.
In the monorails.
The monorails.
It's a dream job of his. And since he was a child, he said, so I really want to dig into that.
Oh, for sure.
Do you even know what a monorail is?
No,
I think
okay, well, we're going to let him explain it. So, because this would be really great. So,
a monorail where it's like one rail.
Just, it's in the Mr. Grammar, it's in the thing. So, we're going to ask him about it though when he gets on here. So, we would like to welcome to Youth Force Chronicles, Mr. Chris Brown. Welcome to the show, Mr. Woo! Chris.
Hi.
Thank you.
How you doing, Chris? How are you doing today?
Very good.
You know, when you were waiting in the lobby there, I thought that you were, I was like, is he at the monorail control station? Because it looked like, because on our side, it's like black and white. And so it was just funny. And then one of our stage assistants said that, no, he's in the classroom. I was like, okay, that's cool too. So, but thank you so much for taking the time to come on our show.
You're welcome. It would have been cooler if I was at the monorail station.
Yeah, but you know, hey, you know, we beggars can't be choosers. And maybe one day we could come visit you as a field trip, which would be great.
Oh, yes.
Hashtag Disney, look at us. So
please.
Please. Joe has
really
never been to Disney before. Have you been, anybody else?
I've never been to Disney.
My kids have never been to Disney.
No, I haven't been to Disney either.
Oh.
Yeah, and last week we interviewed, do you watch any of the influencers on YouTube?
Yes.
Do you know who Molly is? She's the blonde.
Does she work at Watercraft?
No, she has her channel is called The Mammoth Club, and like she used to work at Disney as a tour guide, and then now she does YouTube stuff and all that. But anyways, okay. we had her on the show last week, which was great.
Awesome.
Who are some of your people that you like to watch?
As far as Disney influencers, I watch Paige and Mr. Morrow.
Oh yeah, Tom. He's so
Adam
sweet.
Adam
Jackie's
super enthused.
Yeah, if anybody could embody Winnie the Pooh, Mr. Morrow would do that.
Oh yes.
He's just like the most lovable, sweetest little guy. I'm so happy for him and his success and everything he's doing with that. If you guys don't know who he is, you need to get up on the uppity up. So you, was there anybody else that you were saying?
Oh, Tim Tracker. There's a bunch of other ones.
Okay. Yeah. So fun fact, Tim Tracker was, remember, that's the three in the trinity of our house was Molly, Tim, and Tom Morrow, Dr. Morrow. And we met Mr. Morrow and Tim Tracker. Tim Tracker, we met at Disney Springs, and I kind of fangirled last week, but I fangirled with Tim too, because during COVID,
fangirl's an understatement.
Well, yeah. During COVID, my wife she's a teacher, and as you know, during COVID, you know, everything was pretty much shut down, and so she was at her house by herself, and we love Disney, and she just fell in love with these influencers, and I said one day we're gonna meet these people, and so we did. Unfortunately, she couldn't be with us last week when we interviewed Molly. But so anyways, let's get back to the show. Take it away, Joe.
Okay, so before we get started with anything else, we like to, in this part of the show, we like to do a fun fact where everybody gets to say one fun fact about themselves. We may joke around with it, but to start things off, fun fact about Mr. Joe. I previously talked about that I didn't like cats, and I had to rebuttal myself because they're okay. But fun fact about me, I do not like clowns. Clowns are not fun.
I don't think anybody likes clowns.
I don't
clowns.
Like clowns.
Okay, so I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, that's why. I mean, because Stephen King ruined it for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Wherever you're at, yeah. Stephen, yeah. You're not my favorite.
Hey, Georgie.
Okay, so, and then now it would be Emma's turn. So, Emma, what's a fun fact about you?
I have 27 cousins.
What? No way. Prove it. Yeah. Call your mom. I'm going to hear it. Not right now, but maybe later. 27?
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
Like,
hold on. Do you know all of their names?
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer.
I know.
Oh, man. What family member are you?
No, most of them I don't get to see except for like once a year. And they don't even talk to me because they're all older.
What
than
holiday?
Me. Oh, okay.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's a good holiday.
You gotta say, forget Christmas. We're doing
holiday
Thanksgiving again.
Family reunion.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Andrea?
27 cousins. Wow.
This isn't really a fun fact about me, but it's about my family. My dad, he has 19 other siblings, and he's the youngest out of all of them.
Hey, you guys like with the families, man. It's huge.
Yeah. Hey, that's how it was like
my
back then.
Uncle. Love him.
My family had like 17.
17?
17.
Jeez.
So just imagine that and imagine all like the grandchildren. And I'm one of them.
Oh my goodness. So we'll skip me and go to Mr. Chris over here. Mr. Chris, what's a fun fact about you?
I am obsessed with game shows. I'm a game show fanatic.
Yeah, I see. I saw that on Facebook. What was that thing you were building? You were telling-
I just finished a new game for school. It's called Pocket Change. It's from the Price is Right. So we do like two times a year. We do a Christian based Price is Right game.
That's so cool.
So I just brought that to school today, and we had the third graders and I had rehearsals. So we're doing Pocket Change. We're doing the game side by side. These are all from Price is Right.
Yeah.
And then during COVID, when I was stuck at home and teaching from the computer, like during that time, I got laid off from Monorails. So I had a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah.
And I built the game Plinko from Price is Right. So for this show that we have coming up Wednesday, we're doing a game show, and we got Plinko also. So we're doing Pocket Change side by side and Plinko.
Wow. So how long did it take you to build those things?
It's usually about a 2-week process.
Okay.
Do you store? And a lot of it's like painting, because I'll put masking. It's normally built with a piece of plywood, and I'll draw out the game on the plywood, and then tape it up, and then paint each part. But then, like each day, I'll do a different color. So if it has lots of colors to it, then each day I'm doing a different color.
Well, that's incredible.
So let me ask.
Plinko took a long time. Plinko was like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of free time on my hand.
That takes a lot of
that takes a lot. I was going to ask, if they would approach you as a Disney Imagineer, would you take it?
Yes, there's lots of disciplines involved in Imagineering. So it's not just like, you know, creating
rides,
but there's engineering involved and stuff like that. Yeah. So if I ever got asked to do anything with the Imagineering, it would probably be as a show writer. Like the person writing the scripts for the, doing like the songs and writing scripts for shows and scripts for the rides, stuff like that. It would probably be as a writer. It probably wouldn't be as like somebody designing the rides, and that requires a lot of engineering skills, and you got to know like where everything's going to go with the ride and all the technical aspects and stuff like that.
Well, we kind of do a little bit of Disney Imagineering here as well. We've created a talk show, game show that's kind of like Double Dare, and we had a slime machine and everything. And so we create these Steam games based off of CTEs, and they're usually pretty messy. And so me and the assistant that I was talking about earlier, we actually have a bunch of stuff that we work on here at the Youth Force, separate from our normal day to day stuff that we do. And so that's pretty cool though. So
you love Double Dare.
Dude, it was awesome. I hate that poor documentary, those poor kids, but that was a different era, guys. I just got to be clear. I'm going to clear the record here. That was after the era of Golden and Nickelodeon. Okay. So, does anybody want to know what the fun fact about me is?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Joe, you do not have to be that rude. That is disrespectful.
I'm just playing. Yeah. Tell me about you, Jason.
I once moved a dead body.
Why you got to announce that on the air, man?
Well, I did. I mean, I'm not kidding.
With your hands?
Yes. Well, it's a funny story. Funny, not funny, but
it's a dead body.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Wow.
I used to work for a medical supply company, and I was put in a precarious situation where, so as a medical supply or which is like, you know, like hospital beds for home health. We deliver those. We deliver bedside commodes, all that stuff to help people get take care of home. Right. So there was this gentleman who had passed away, and I was there to pick up the bed. And the caretaker, what is it? Who are they called? The people, the funeral people, not a morgue. Funeral director, funeral, anyway, mortician. That's the word. I knew it was an M. The guy was Muslim, and they needed to turn his body around because he couldn't, like, there's a certain way that the body has to be turned, that has to stay turned, or like it messes him up. And so the guy was like 85 years old, and he was completely out of shape. And so I was there, and he's like, I need you to help me turn this to turn this body around on the gurney. And I said, okay. And so most terrifying moment of my life, because the wife was there obviously grieving, and I was helping spin the body around, and I'm like, please don't drop it, because at some point he was more off the gurney than he was on the gurney. And I'm like, this dude is not going to, he's going to fail me, and I'm going to look like I did it. And so luckily it worked out, but that's how I moved a dead body one time. On with the floor, on with the floor.
I'm like over here. I'm like, yeah. How is this supposed to be funny? Is this a fun fact?
It's an interesting fact. I usually do it.
Fact that you have fun.
Well, I usually do two truths and a lie. That's the one I use. That's probably what, you know what? I probably should have saved that for that one.
Well, shucks.
Okay. So, all right. So, the girls here, they don't know what a monorail is. Can you explain to them what a monorail does?
A monorail transports people from station to station. So it's kind of like a train, but it rides on one beam, one track.
Okay.
And
that's not what I thought.
It's normally elevated in most cases.
And it's still exclusively only for Disney, right? Like nobody else like says, hey, this is a great way of transportation.
Right. You don't see a whole lot of them around. Seattle has a monorail, which I've been on. Disneyland has their monorail. There was one at the Tampa airport that went around the parking garage, but it was on the floor. And that one just got removed. Las Vegas has a popular one, but not a whole lot in North America or United States. In Japan, you'll see a lot of them. In Asian countries, you'll see a lot of monorails.
Wow.
There's a lot more over there.
That's interesting.
There's some in India.
Yeah, that's interesting. I thought they were still just at Disney. You get on a monorail, like, well, this sucks. I don't like this one. Disney's is better. Like, do you compare? Like, you know, sometimes in your field, you kind of like become an expert in that, and you're just.
Yeah, I'll usually record it. So if I go on a monorail, then I'm recording the stations. I record it going along the beamway. When I get inside, I try to see where the control panel is up in the front, because most of them are automated. Some of them have a controller. So I'll try to like film the controller, and I'll be like, ooh, this runs on 600 volts of DC power and stuff like that. Try to find out how it operates and how they drive it and stuff like that. And I'll try to record it if I can. So I have like tons of monorail footage.
That's really cool.
Miami Metro Zoo, the Miami Zoo, what they call it now, Zoo Miami. They used to have a monorail, but that one I think got removed about a year or two ago. So they don't have their monorail anymore. That was another one that I rode, and I filmed extensively the Miami monorail.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Chris?
How long have you been a teacher?
Oh, teaching has been 22 years, and monorails is 25 years, but in May it'll be 26 years. So almost 26 years for monorails. When I was in college, I went to college in Kissimmee, and Disney was nearby. Yeah. And always wanted to be a monorail pilot. So I was like, I'm going to go out and I gave him a call. I was like, I'm going to call them and see if they're looking for any monorail drivers.
That's really cool.
I wanted a job, and I wanted something that like I wanted to do, or like something that I thought was cool. So
right.
I was like, I'll try Disney and call them. And they're like, yeah, we're hiring part-time monorails. So I went out and went through the interview process and got a job with monorails.
So you went going to FCC, you decided to be a monorail driver while you're going to college. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it was after my sophomore year. So after 2 years of college, because the first 2 years of college, I wasn't working.
Yeah.
And then I was going back home during the summer after my freshman year. I went back home and was working back at home. And then I was like, well, I want to stay up here in Kissimmee and find a job and get a car and stuff like that, because I didn't have a car either. So It's like, well, I get a job and then that'll pay for having a ride.
Yeah, right. Now, I will say, as a former FCC student as well, you kind of hit the mother load of the job, the side job at Disney. All right. Yeah. At Disney. Because, like, especially in college, we used to play tag in downtown Disney and it was really fun. But the rules were we weren't allowed to run. So, and we would start at both ends and, like, we'd have to meet in the middle. Right. And so that was the peak of my Disney experience while I was in Disney. You dagged what you took the cup. You're like, I'm doing this. And then it happened, which is really awesome. So, did you have to get any special training for that?
Oh yeah, they train us on the monorails there, so you have to pass platform training. So they'll start you on the platform, learning how to load people and all the safety things that you have to know with the platform. So you'll learn that, and then you'll get checked out on platform, and then usually like a month or so after that, then they'll train you on driving because everybody that works at monorails has to be a driver. So that's about 7 days of training. And then they give you a test on driving. And then if you pass that, then you can continue on in the department. If not, then they transfer you somewhere else.
So you had a test you had to take?
Yes, two of them, one for platform and one for driving.
Whoa, that's pretty cool.
But usually like with the drive training, you'll drive on all three beams. They have a monorail that goes out to Epcot. So they have the Epcot beam, they have the express beam and the resort beam. And the resort monorail goes around to the hotels. The express just takes people from the transportation center. That's where the Magic Kingdom parking lot is. So it takes people from there over to the Magic Kingdom. So you drive all three beams. And while you're doing that, they're throwing like fake emergencies at you and you have to handle them correctly. There's like people calling you on the radio, asking you questions. So you're doing like a lot of things
multitasking
at once.
Oh, wow.
And that's like what you're being tested on. So the testing part, it's hard after the 7 days of training. You gotta handle all these things being thrown at you.
That's really cool.
You'd figure if somebody wanted to be a monorail driver, they'd have a one track mind.
Do they throw all types of strollers at you? Like
maybe you with the that's a platform. If you're working platform, then you're dealing with like getting the stroller. Well, the people put the strollers on themselves. Your bigger issue with the platform is loading the wheelchairs on the train just keeping an eye out for your wheelchairs. And you got to put the ramp down for to get the wheelchairs up on the train because the monorail is not at the same height as the platform. It's a little bit higher, so we have to put a ramp down for wheelchairs. But strollers, they help themselves. But there's a lot of them at Disney.
You know, I know monorail and driving a train are not the same thing. But when I was just hearing them talking about how it's doing multiple things at the same time, why is it that the scene from the Polar Express on the ice came to mind? And it's like, it's like left, right. Like, but I know it's not the same thing.
Is it really, is it just like a joystick and then like you're pulling it back and forth and you push a couple buttons, or is it more like?
Yeah, it's a joystick that you move back and forth. If you're in the middle is neutral. If you're moving it forward, it has different levels of propulsion that'll move the train along. And then if you're pulling it backwards,
is a spaceship calling?
If you're pulling it backwards, then if you're pulling it towards you, then that's different levels of braking.
So
to stop.
Okay, so there's no reverse. So you can't just like, because you have to go like it only goes one way. So you have to get out and go
to
the front.
It's one way or another.
It goes forward and backwards. Yeah. So the reverse switch is next to the driving lever. Overshot your station and didn't miss your mark and the doors aren't going to open because the station is reading that like your monorail is not lined up in the right spot. Then you got to put it in reverse. I work Saturday, Sundays at monorail. So Sunday, two times on Sunday, I had to do this, but normally I just have the train in automated mode. They go around automatically, but some people like to drive it and you can request to like drive it yourself. I'd rather just, you like sit there and relax and
get paid to just
that's
cool.
if there's any safety issues, then it's on them, it's not on me.
In case the bridge goes out.
So there's like an automated mode. There was twice where the train overshot the station, so I had to put it in manual mode, put it in reverse the train.
It's like everybody out and push
back to the station so the doors lined up so everybody can get out. Wow. So Do you get like to- most of the time, I have an automated. When did that come out? Like in 2017, 16, somewhere around there is when they switched to automated. So, the train, you sit down, you push the button, and the train goes automatically to the next station.
Yeah. Do you get to like kind of help? Do you get to bring some joy to some kids when you get to say, hey, you want to sit up front with us? And then they're like, oh my gosh, do you still do that? Are you still allowed?
We'll take kids up and show them the front cab. In 2009, the legal department thought it was not a good idea for people to be up in the front with the driver. They wanted the driver to have like full concentration up there. So we used to have people sitting up front. Like when I started back in the late 90s, we had people sitting up front like through the 2000s, up until 2009. You had people riding up in the front, and then you gave them a co-pilot license for riding up there. So there's still seats up there, but we're not allowed to have like people ride with us. But if we're at the station and we have to wait, like the wait time is giving us like 2 or 3 minutes until we have to leave. Like if we have a pretty decent wait time, then sometimes they'll pull kids or they'll pull families and say, hey, you want to come look at the front? So they'll pull people up there and they'll let the kids honk the horn and stuff like that.
Man, Bodhi would have loved that. We're going to Disney in fall break, so I would be like,
hey, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or does anybody have any questions real quick?
What inspired you to, am I interrupting something?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, the cleaning lady came in. She wanted the vacuum.
What inspired you to be a monorail driver? Like,
oh goodness, when I was a kid, going to Disney, my first trip was in '85. I grew up in South Florida, so we go to Disney about every 2 years, and then sometimes I go in school. We'd stay at Fort Wilderness because we had a camper, but I was always fascinated by seeing the monorails go by. So that was like my favorite part of Disney, is like watching the monorails. So when I grew up, I wanted to do that. When I was in elementary school, I usually like drew monorail pictures and stuff like that. And when they gave you those things where it was like, what do you want to be when you grew up? And I was like, I want to be a monorail driver. I want to be a game show host, which I somewhat get to do as a teacher.
Hey, so you get to live both worlds. Like,
This is like, you fulfill your calling and your dream. And I'm doing it.
But I also said I wanted to be a teacher as well. So I got to do that as well.
Yeah.
All the things I wanted to do.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
I love that.
Anybody else got a question?
I have a question.
Okay, go, Joe. Go.
Oh, why is everybody staring at me?
Because you said really slow. I have a question. I'll take it.
So my question is, with having two jobs, how are you able to manage both of them? What does the day-to-day look like for you from being a school teacher and then going to be a monorail driver?
Day-to-day on the school days, I try to get to bed by 10 because on school days I get up at 6. So it's normally teaching and then coming home and making dinner for the family, and then whatever family stuff needs to go on, we do that. And then as a hobby, I'll work on editing YouTube videos because I have tons of like old park footage from when I started at Disney from like the early 2000s. So
I didn't know that.
In 2000, when I was like bored and not doing stuff, in 2020, sorry, is when I started YouTube and transferring all my old Disney park footage. And I have a lot of old monorail footage, Disney park footage, transferring that to digital and making YouTube videos. So usually at night as a hobby, I'll work on my YouTube videos.
So to me, it sounds like you have a great skill with time management. Knowing that in today's world, time management is one of those things that really makes or break a person in a job. How would you describe finding success with time management for what you do?
That's a good question.
To be successful, I have to have limits on social media, because normally, like for me, my time limit for school is 10 p.m. And then monorails, I'm usually in at like 5 or 4:30 because we got to get the monorail stations open and stuff like that. I'm usually an opener on Saturdays, Sundays. So on those days, the goal is to get to bed by 8 p.m. And that's harder because it's like once it gets close to the bedtime or when I should be getting to sleep is where I I'm done doing my YouTube stuff. Then I just want to like, I go on my phone and then I'm looking at videos. I'm looking at Instagram, whatever. And then it's like an hour later and I should be in bed, but I'm still like, looking at stuff on my phone. And I'm like, come on, you gotta go to bed. So like success for me is just being disciplined and having, you know, like having time to waste time on social media, but not to like where it interferes with my mental health where I'm not a nice person the next day.
Well, you work for third graders.
Because I'm only working on like 5 hours of sleep and I'm real short with the kids. And
exactly. I was going to say working with third graders, I'm sure pushes you to some limits, but you also deal with Disney crowds, which can be just as frustrating, I'm sure. I had a question.
It's not as busy in the morning, so I like mornings because I'm not dealing with a whole lot of people unless they put me at the transportation center. Then like everybody's coming in for the day, going to the parks and stuff like that. But since I've been there 25 years, I have pretty good seniority to kind of avoid the harder stations, and they usually put me at the easier spots like Epcot in the morning and Magic Kingdom in the morning, which is mostly just like people exiting the train, but you know, you're just helping people out and then they leave. They're not like, it's not everybody coming in and you're trying to load them and stuff like that. So it's like those stations are easy in the morning. That's usually where I'm at Saturday, Sunday mornings.
I'm out
around 1 o'clock or two. So it gives me like the rest of my weekends, Saturday and Sundays.
Yeah. So you don't have to handle when the monsoon strike, the influx of people that bombard the exits, like, you know, Epcot's really famous for.
Nope, I've done my time on that.
So with you as a teacher, that means you have like summers off. Do you kind of up a little bit more at Disney, or do you just kind of let that rest and you keep your Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday schedule?
June and July and August are like nasty for like being out at Disney.
Oh, yeah.
I'll still go. Sometimes I go out and film stuff and kind of do things for YouTube or whatever, or try new foods and stuff whenever there's a festival at Epcot. So over the summer, I'm usually just taking it easy. Like I'll do my Saturday, Sunday at Disney and I'll maybe pick up like an extra day or so. Mm-hmm. But most of the time I'm just like sitting around and like watching Netflix and chilling out for 2 months, going on vacation.
It gets hot in Florida.
I'll go out to the parks, but it's like so nasty hot in Florida for June and July. It's like, I'll go out for a little bit, couple hours and then come back home.
It's like,
cause then usually by then I'm covered in sweat, or sometimes just like parking your car. And like back when the trams weren't running after 2020, they weren't running the parking trams. So if you had to like walk from the parking lot to the front entrance, it's like by then you're already covered in sweat.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to change out of my uniform and into my other uniform. So yeah, it's like hot breath hot down in Florida, like morning
hot breath hot.
Just like, because it's humid. It and so it just, horrible. The weather, you step out and it just sucks all the moisture out of your head.
Yeah.
And other like love down it. To your toes. So
is that like hot Cheeto breath or like hot Cheeto breath hot?
It's a little worse than hot Cheeto breath.
It is. You know, since I grew up in Florida, yes, I'm the expert over here. I'm just kidding. I'm not the expert, but
hey, my bad.
But no.
Wait, no. It's okay. So I do have a question. This is for everybody. Like when it gets really hot in those seasons, like have you guys ever experienced... Why do you? Hey,
they're giggling over.
We are in a podcast. No giggling.
We're having fun.
I'm actually clearing my throat. Thank you.
But
that's good. That's good.
Anyway, for everybody who's experienced hot weather, has it ever gotten to a point where your shoes start to melt or anything?
Mm-mm.
Does it ever get that hot down in Florida?
I have been to Florida once, and I was 8, so I don't remember.
Oh. It gets hot in cars. Like, you could literally put something like an egg or something, and by the time it would roast, like it would boil or something. I don't even know, but it's hot.
People working in parking at Disney, they'll have that issue because they're out on the hot asphalt, and I don't know what type of shoes they buy. I think they purchase a special type of shoes.
Space shuttle.
I've never had shoe melting issues. The monorail stations are covered, and the Contemporary Station, that's a hotel, the Contemporary Resort Station, that's inside. Mm. So that's a good place to be in the summer because it's air conditioned.
Yeah,
but the other stations are out. The other stations are covered. So at least you're in the shade, but I haven't experienced melting shoe issues, but I have heard it from parking cast members that's an issue.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think the worst job at Disney is because of the heat? I would think the characters, but I think there's a
with
the heat. I wouldn't want to be parking.
Yeah, parking. Yeah. Well, I think that's a myth. Do you know if the character costumes have? You probably can't say.
Yeah, he's probably not allowed.
But
that, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not going to agree or deny. All right.
I don't know. It's like, and then in the back, he's like, "Ho ho!
I'm watching you, Chris."
sorry, this chair is really squeaky, and I'm hoping that it's not being picked up. But so, what more questions? What do we got? You know, we can hear you whispering, right? And it sounds like we're not doing ASMR.
Okay. What made you want to become a teacher?
Ooh. This is the one I wanted to touch into.
Plot twist.
Yeah, because I assume teaching with third graders nowadays is a lot harder.
What is going on?
Because of all. Like
when I was in elementary school, I was usually bored. I might have had ADHD or ADD. I haven't been diagnosed with anything, but I usually got antsy in school. And I thought of like things that, like, if I was a teacher, I was thinking I would do this and I would do that and blah blah blah. So I don't know if that might have been like a motivation to be a teacher. When I was in high school, I seemed to have a talent for like working with the kids, because I was like helping out in Sunday school and whenever they had like vacation Bible school over the summer and stuff like that, I would help out with that. I would help out with church camp during my summers in high school. So a lot of things I did throughout high school were working with children, and I worked well with children, and I didn't get annoyed with them or like lost my patience with them, because a lot of people are like, "Oh, I can't believe you do that. I won't be able to handle that."
And that's what they tell us.
It's a special gift to be a teacher.
Yeah, we're in the same boat here with the kids, because I mean that's what we do. We do character development on the club level, but we handle character and professional development with Youth Force. So we get the good and the bad and the ugly and the really funny sometimes. Remember DK? That kid was crazy funny. What's your favorite part about being a teacher?
I like doing the game show, but I've always wanted to be a game show host. So I like making new games, because the pocket change game that I just made is my 39th game. So in my garage against the back wall, and I can still park my car in the garage. But in front of that is all these Price is Right games, Plinko and all that stuff, Cliffhangers.
That's really cool.
All the different games from Price is Right. Price is Right has, I think, like 72 in their rotation. So I'm up to 39 that I've made myself, and they're all like in my garage. So I like making new games. I like playing that with the class. And then I like creating games also. So we do the game show, but then also in class, make up different games or just like from watching game shows or watching things like Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Or Big Brother.
There it is.
I'll watch the like reality TV. Mm-hmm. That has like the challenges and stuff like that. And some things I'll pick up on. I'm like, I can do that as a review game for class. So there's like things that I've learned from old game shows and from reality TV and stuff like that, that I've adapted into games. I think I have like 50 of them that I play with my class. So I like taking things and changing it into games. Cause I was like, when I was a kid, I was like, I'd rather be doing this and this and this. I'd rather be doing like fun stuff than just reading this, whatever. So I try to take the things and make it more exciting. More some fun. Things are, some things are still boring, but
hopefully, that's just part of life.
Yeah,
yeah. Hopefully most of my class is somewhat exciting. But I like doing games, and I like doing the game show. So those are like the main things that excite me.
I do have to wonder, do you have like a game intro, like voice or introduction that you do like with the kids? Like, you know, it's like welcome to the Prices Right. Welcome to Mr. Chris's class.
when we do the game show, I have the audio cues from the show. So that's all programmed into the computer. So there's somebody running that. There's an announcer that has the student names in the back. So they'll call out the student names. So-and-so, come on down. You are the next contestant on the Word is Right. The Word is Right.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun.
Oh my gosh.
So there's an announcer. We have all the audio cues. We got the losing horn. So if somebody loses, they'll play the...
Do you have a ridiculous outfit and an obnoxiously small microphone? Like old Bob
Barker? The skinny microphone, like Bob Barker microphone.
It was so small.
it won't play. It's not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go with like the audio that they have at the church, because we do the show for chapel. So it doesn't go with like their soundboard. I do have one. And then when I was in college, my roommates and I would go out to thrift stores. So in Kissimmee, there was a Salvation Army thrift store, and I got this corduroy plaid, like green plaid 70s suit, which still fits me. So that'll come out every now and then. My stepdad has this like sparkly gold sequin.
Yeah, he does.
So I think I think that's the one I'm probably going to wear Wednesday, because the kids like it when I wear that one. I've worn the plaid one already this year. So
I'm going to take that picture from you, and I'm going to put it on the thing when we post the Instagram about we're announcing this as we launch this podcast. If you put that picture up, I'm going to use that.
Maybe with the gold jacket.
That's awesome.
Well, if we ever got the chance to come and visit Florida, hopefully Disney and all that one day, fingers crossed. But would there ever be a chance we could come and visit your classroom and see what you get to do?
Mm. If the price is right, get it? No, just kidding. But yes.
If the price is right. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
People like parents visiting chapel, they'll let them in to like, yeah, if they wanted to see the show.
Then, oh, that's so much fun.
Then like parents could come in to see that. My parents, they live in Sebastian. They live on the east coast of Florida, like over near Vero Beach. So they'll come on out every now and then and see me do the game show. So they'll come on out and watch. But like, if you wanted to see me in my classroom, then that's like a whole background check and stuff like that. They won't let you in the school to like see me in my classroom, but you would be able to like see the game show, because that's open for parents and whatever. People are allowed to see that.
Do you ever offer as a game show prize, do you ever offer them one of those Disney staff perks? Like, you want a trip to Disney World? Oh my God.
The grand prize, this is my 18th year doing the Price is Right show for school. And for 18 years, for all the years I've done the game show, the grand prize is always two tickets to Disney. So I'll use my comp tickets. We get tickets in the summer and we get tickets in the winter. So I always use the tickets as prizes for the game show.
You, sir, you are doing the Lord's work. That's
a legend. Yeah. I think I could join your class.
Yeah.
No, you said you were in fourth grade.
Well, so
I said I was in first grade. I'll be there soon.
Disney has these really cool programs that I'm really trying to. So here's a little bit of backstory. Long ago, Jared, who is now my supervisor, he and I are really great friends. And there was a dream that we had about taking kids to Disney, because that would be like the ultimate, like, because me and my team and then him, we are just huge, big dreamers. And so, and wherever there's a will, there's a way. And so we were this close. We had 10 Disney tickets from a grant that was from a volunteer, like a service project. And so we were, it was, It was so close. And then COVID hit. And then it was just like, and then that and COVID hit. And then we think someone, we don't know what happened to those tickets. And so I think they either expired. I think they expired. And so, but they have these really cool like programs where one is the college that we've talked about yet last week with Molly. And then the other one is they have like these really cool workshops that they can do. So like they'll do STEAM based about the rides. And so you go to behind the scenes, but then like you get to go to the park that day. So like if they're doing, you know, the science of roller coasters or something like that, and they go through, you know, Space Mountain and Thunder Railroad, that one always gets me, all those roller coasters, well, they do the workshop and then you get to go to that park for the duration of that day.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's a possibility. And I'm hoping that now that I'm in this position with the jobs and careers things, that we can make that happen. And so, but yeah, that would just be incredible. And we would come see you and ride in the front and say, we're going to break. I'm just kidding.
That would be a dream.
Saturday or Sunday morning.
What is your favorite Disney ride?
My favorite Disney ride is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Yeah.
Hey, he said it better than you, Jason.
He did.
That's true.
Are you excited about the new Bayou Adventure? Have you ridden it yet? Did you get it?
I'm excited about it.
Okay.
I don't know when the cast previews are. It's opening this summer, and hopefully they'll have a cast preview, but nothing's come out yet for cast previews, because I got to go on the first day of the Tron roller coaster, Tron Light Cycles, that opened last year. So I got to go on the first day.
That's cool.
Because they offered it for Magic Kingdom cast members first, and then anybody at Disney. Then they offered it for Disney cast members. And then there was a preview for annual pass holders. And then there was a preview for Disney Vacation Club members, stuff like that. But the first day they did it, it was just Magic Kingdom cast members exclusive only. And since we have a monorail station at the Magic Kingdom, they let us register. So I was like, oh yeah, I get to do it on the first day.
No. So, okay, this is a follow-up question. How did you feel about Happily Ever After coming back?
I'm usually team wishes all the way.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So Happily Ever After is this fantastic firework show. And so my son was actually in the Disney's 100 Years of Magic commercial watching the fireworks. Just gonna brag on that for a second. We got $100 tickets. So
yeah, I knew he looked familiar.
Yeah.
I knew
he looked familiar. He's a star. So just, you know, the 3 seconds he's in the video.
When he gets older, I'll ask for a signature.
You should. He can ask for it now. He'll give it to you for sure.
I was happy. Happy that Happily Ever After came back instead of the Disney Enchantment.
Yeah, I didn't really know.
I still enjoy Wishes more than Happily Ever After.
I never got to experience Wishes. So we'll show you the magic. Well, I don't know if I want to show you. You guys...
You just have to be there to experience it.
Well, you can watch the YouTube, but it's not the same. And it's just like, man.
You just have to be there.
You just, I want to.
I have different versions of Wishes on my channel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not the same as being there.
I might show you Wishes because I didn't experience Wishes. But like Happily Ever After is a magical experience of the fireworks that say goodnight. And, you know, everything about Disney is always just like experience. And I told you guys about the lightsaber experience where the guy made me cry. Did you ever build your, have you built your lightsaber? Have you built a lightsaber at all?
Oh my God.
No, that is, that's beyond my price threshold.
Yeah. I had to save, I had birthday money. So I was like, yeah, I'm putting this towards
that.
I got a big old purple one. But like the dude was so like, he was so into character. He's talking about, you know, the thing. And then like Yoda comes on and.
The force is strong with this one.
And then the guy saw me weeping and he just touched me and I cried more. Please, I'll take it. I'll take it. But
the emotions were there, guys.
Yeah. So, that's really cool though that you do that for your kids though. Like that just is so awesome that you get to give them two free tickets to Disney.
Well, if I give away my tickets at school, then like when people are asking me, "Hey, can I get Disney tickets?" then my response is always, "Oh, I gave them away at school. I don't have any tickets."
Because you probably get asked that a lot, don't you? You're like,
"Yeah, yep."
Like, man, it's like the discount that doesn't quit.
I'm like, oh, sorry, I don't have any tickets.
Yeah.
None for you.
Yeah, none for you. So
I remember what you did.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't.
Cut me off the other day. No.
Yeah. I'm never going to get past that.
It's like, you don't want, you get Disney banned, you get Chris banned. No, you're not taking my tickets. So, anybody else have anything?
Okay, random question. What's your favorite Disney song?
Ooh.
Favorite what?
Disney song.
I like Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins.
Oh, that's a
but
good
that
one.
They say it's Walt Disney's favorite song. And if you look at Walt Disney's office, there's a piano in there. And the Sherman Brothers, they were the ones that wrote the song. They would play the song for Walt in there. That's a good song. And as far as theme park music, I like Magic Journeys, which was a 3D show in the 80s at Epcot. That has kind of like an eerie. That's also written by the Sherman Brothers.
Was that Michael
Jackson?
That's
kind of like an eerie, kind of cool song. I like Magic Journeys. I like...
was that the Michael Jackson words? Was that the Michael Jackson one? That was Captain...
The Captain EO replaced Magic Journeys. That opened at Epcot in 82, Magic Journeys. And then Captain EO, I think, was 86, and that replaced Magic Journeys.
Dang.
And then that got replaced by Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah, you're very well knowledge in this. The Michael Jackson one was pretty...
I know, that's kind of incredible, honestly.
Angelica Houston was the bad person in it, and it was super creepy. And it was almost... Well, that, and then... Wasn't that one, and then Tomorrowland's the alien encounter? Like, alien encounter
was super scary.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I remember going as a kid, and it's about this alien that transports into the thing, and the lights go out, and all of a sudden, it's like a 4D adventure, and, like, the thing spits on you. This dude's making comments about it looking like his mother-in-law. It's hilarious.
No,
it was so funny.
What?
It's mostly in the dark, so it's it's all
kids screaming,
audio in your ears, and you feel like breathing on your neck and stuff like that. But you don't know what's going on, so it's mostly pitch dark.
But it doesn't exist anymore.
It's mostly your imagination, like freaking you out.
And then the commercial, of course, didn't help because it's like the thing is terrifying, and then there's a big reveal in the middle of it when they're
it's not real.
No, it doesn't exist anymore. Like the ride is old because it was too scary. And then they tried to put Lilo and Stitch in there and that didn't really work. That was like, it was kind of cute. So that was a lot of fun with Lilo and Stitch, but that alien encounter movie or that alien encounter ride was terrifying. Cause at the end, the alien explodes and it water splashes on you. Yeah. So like you sit in this, it was like this round room and the seats, you're strapped in, first of all, like the things come down so no one gets up during the thing so Disney doesn't get in trouble. And so the whole premise of the thing is they're trying to test out this teleportation device, right? And so somehow the teleportation device ends up sucking in a very mean alien, right? And then it escapes and it gets out. And so somehow it gets back into the tube and they're like, okay, it's finally in here. And the thing comes down and it goes, oh no. And then it explodes. Water comes at you, you're just like, it's like, oh my gosh.
So essentially, you have alien blood all over you, essentially.
Pretty much. But I mean, yeah. But the same thing kind of happened with the Bugs Life one because the spiders kept coming down and it would terrify all the kids.
No.
The last time we were there, oh my gosh, it was so funny. Bodhi was, I think 1.5 or something, but he still didn't really register, but all the other kids around him were just melting as soon as those spiders came down. They were just ginormous spiders and they would, but the seats would buzz and those like, and it was, so. But I think they're getting rid of that one too, aren't they?
No, it still does. I went on that this weekend because I'm working on a trivia video for YouTube of like Disney movie references and rides. And I was trying to get like Flick and and it's tough to be a bug. So I went on that this last weekend and the seats still rumble underneath you. You still get stabbed in the back.
Yeah. Some pokes you. It's like the seat pokes you. It makes some people mad. Like if you don't know about it, I'm sure it's very jarring because you don't read.
Spiders come out of the ceiling.
I always imagine people who don't know how to because from what I understand, there's not other languages in the signs where they give you all the warnings, but it does give you like the red circle thing. You know, don't ride this if you're pregnant kind of deal. But the thing, it says like, hey, this show does loud noises, flashes, and things touch you.
And it pokes you.
But like, I can't imagine not knowing about the ride and then getting on it and being freaked out. Like, wow, what was that? Because at one point, the animals, some of the bugs come out. And like, if you hate bugs, this is not the ride for you at all. So
I just keep thinking about those spiders, man.
Yeah.
They're huge. Well, they're big. I mean, because you shrink down to an ant. So like you decide, so they're big, so they're not tiny. So they're big, giant, and they got big glowing eyes and big sharp pointy teeth.
Oh, that's...
They're Black Widow spiders. Yeah. So you see the Black Widow mark, the hourglass.
But not the Avenger.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the Avenger.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I was good.
But yeah, so they have the little hourglass thing on there. That's crazy.
If Black Widow, the Avenger, came out of the ceiling, then I'd probably go on it more.
Yeah. I think it would become a popular ride too.
Rather than the spiders.
Yeah. But that'd be kind of a weird animal kingdom. I don't know what she's doing here. I mean, even in the Avatar world. Bugs Life is probably, I think they're about to refurbish it or something from what
I remember. I think it's going to turn into something else.
Yeah. So
I forget what.
So anyways, do we have any, does anybody, Joe?
For people that haven't been to Disney, if you go to Disney, what's the one main thing that you want to do there? Like from what you've seen from YouTube or from watching shows and stuff like that.
Was he asking us a good question?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. Ooh. Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to hear this.
Okay.
There's a right answer.
We'll start with Andrea.
I've seen a lot of videos about the food and stuff and like hotels near Disney. So I probably would want to do that.
The food is the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of like really crazy themed food. And it all looks so good, but I know I wouldn't finish all of it.
Okay, Emma.
Small stomach. I don't know. I just really want to go.
Everybody talks so highly of it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. They actually do have a culinary. So remember those programs I was talking about? They have a culinary one where we could go and learn how to be a Disney chef type thing.
Oh, that's fine.
So you cook a meal.
I think for me, what I would look forward to in going to Disney is probably the experience of how they make you feel so good and welcome.
Yeah.
And that you're appreciated and that they want you.
Oh yeah.
There. Oh yeah.
And so I think I will look look forward to that customer service experience. And just, and the atmosphere of the place. I would love to go to Disney.
Yeah. We talked about that on the last episode about how Disney's just customer service is just the unreal customer service. And so.
Right. Before going into monorail training, my first 2 days was Disney tradition. So you're going to classes, learning about, how Disney does stuff, how to treat, the guests and history of the company, stuff like that. They took us to, They put us on a bus and they drove us into the tunnels underneath Magic Kingdom.
Ooh, so I would have visited the tunnels. Sorry.
All the way from day one, I was like, this is amazing. This is so cool.
I would lose my ever-loving mind if I went into the tunnels.
I know. It was amazing.
Underneath the
young people wanting to go into some type of career path, even just starting there and just learning Disney style and stuff like that. People... Cast members that leave from there and go on to other stuff, go on to hotel management or other jobs. They'll see that Disney experience on there and know that they've been properly trained in customer service, how to treat people, stuff like that. They'll normally have an advantage of getting hired and other areas outside of Disney when they decide to move on and go do something else.
That's what Molly was saying too. She said that because of Disney experience going through the training in the college, she said that she put it on a resume and people would it would give her another advantage in the job because they saw that she went through Disney training and all that stuff because of just how well they do stuff. And it sounds like just a fun company to be a part of.
Oh yeah.
Because you're just you're doing the most fun, and I'm sure people have a lot of horror stories about things that they do and bad experiences, and she even talked about a couple of them too, but have you had any kind of any kind of experience where you're just where you kind of help somebody's day because you have that Disney cast member power of hey, I'm gonna bring joy to you because that's what I'm to do.
Yeah, if we have time and I can take somebody up in the cab, people like that, and I'll usually record them and take pictures and stuff like that. Usually people are grateful when we're able to track down something that they lost, a stuffed animal or their cell phone or whatever, and then we're calling the different stations or we're calling around. You put in an effort to try to find whatever precious thing they lost, and then you're able to find it somewhere and we can get it back to them. So they're happy they're happy in those situations.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it's just a, such a fun thing.
Yeah. One last question before we get off. When it comes to jobs and careers, what is a motivating word you would like to tell everyone?
Leave us with a nugget of your wisdom.
That is looking forward to finding their job and career, those who are still looking.
A motivating word or like several words?
Several words.
Okay.
Not just one word.
Like an inspirational, like, quote. Hey, if you could talk to the younger Chris Brown, what would you say to motivate you to do what you're doing, essentially, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I would try to find joy or happiness in the things that I'm doing. Because even though I've accomplished like the things that I've wanted to do as a child, being a monorail driver, being a teacher, getting to host a game show, it's all things that I've dreamed about. It's still like for now, it's like things that I've been doing for 20 years. So it's like I'm doing the same stuff over and over again. So it could be monotonous, or you know, like it could lose its magic. So it's just looking for special things, moments with kids when they're not understanding stuff, like with third graders not understanding their timetables, and now they do, and just like the joy of playing the games that I created at Disney, just magical moments that you can make for guests, stuff like that. Just remembering those times and making an effort to continue on with that.
Wow. Well, so finding the joy in anything you do is kind of our responsibility in life, is just trying to find that joy. And it sounds like you have accomplished that in a lot of areas. It sounds like you get to do your calling and your passion at the same time, which is something we hope to help our kids find that as well.
So, yeah, because for me, it's not really work, because it's like I'm doing the things that I've wanted to do in life. Yeah. So
it doesn't feel like work, does it? You just
it's more like fun. Yeah. Work.
They pay me for this. I feel the same.
There's
a
quote that says, "If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life."
So true.
Yes.
So true. Well, we thank you so much, Mr. Chris, for giving us the time for this interview, and this was a great.
Yes, this time. Was an incredible talk.
Yes.
We just wanted to say thank you to you. And that's all the time we have for our show today. Once again, I am Crazy Jay, and this is Andre, Emma, and Joe. Whoop. Signing off from Youth Force Chronicles.
Are you ready?